Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Absolutely glorious morning, gorgeous skies. It's going to get hot today. It's going to be 84 degrees. Feels more like 88, if you ask me, when it's been up. But the trades are there, 15 to 20 miles per hour. A little rain forecast in the afternoon, mainly on the windward side and up Mauka. Great show. Lewin Mayer's calling in from Scotland to tell us how things are going in Scotland. And Roger Fredericks. He's worked with Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and it's not just on fitness, also on visualizing your strokes. Alex Urban, Executive Director, Century Tournament of Champions, joins us talking about, yes, indeed, Century Tournament of Champions is on. It's going to be in January, starting on the 2nd. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. And the big question is, of course, should the Ryder Cup be held without fans? We'll talk with him about that and a whole lot more. But first, I really need to tell you about Oahu. Looking forward to May 1st, maybe, because Mayor Kirk Caldwell said some of our low-risk businesses could possibly reopen with modifications on May 1st, including golf courses. First, the City and County of Honolulu Medical Panel has to review, provide input. We'll see what the recommendations are. All the while, of course, practicing social distancing, wearing masks, practicing hygiene, regular hand washing, modifications like don't touch the plastic, don't touch the rake. And, you know, it certainly would be fun, but we're not holding our breath. We'll see if May 1st really does open up those golf courses here on Oahu, at least. So we'll be back after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring him right into the clubhouse. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel, NBC Sports, Top Golf Hawaii. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
And good morning, Danielle. I can't wait to hear Roger Fredericks because I've only been visualizing shots for about 6 weeks and I'm getting worse. I'm not getting any better, so I need a little help.
Yes, indeed. Don't we all? I watched a Champions Tour little promo about what they're doing, trying to stay in shape. One was holding his dog and doing, like, I don't know, into push-ups or something, standing up with the puppy. That was absolutely precious. Yesterday we got word, though, on a more serious note, that the U.S. Junior Amateur and the U.S. Girls Junior has been canceled. The USGA events, they kind of wait a while before telling us that things are being canceled. But golf on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour, I think it's cute. They are both starting on June 11th in Texas on the PGA Tour, Grand Rapids, Michigan on the LPGA Tour. Do you think they can really start on June 11th?
You know, that's a really aggressive date, Danielle. I have my doubts. There are so many different challenges. Golf is by far the most difficult of any major sport to stage an event. If you think about it, if the NBA were to say, hey, we're going to start playing on May 1st, you could go into arenas, sanitize them, turn on the lights, and play basketball. But with a golf event, it just takes so many more people. Think about scoring in a golf tournament. Most big sports have two teams, one ball, one score. It's very simple. In golf at Fort Worth, they're going to have 150 players, 150 balls, and 150 scores. It's just the massive number of people it takes to keep track of all that, to do all the shot link data from those scores and everything. So it's a much larger gathering for golf. And that's what causes me concern, whether or not they're going to be ready to allow those big a gathering.
Yeah, the spectators alone, getting people who can come over and help make the tournament happen. I mean, they're the ones who are actually wandering around with ShotLink, making sure, well, there won't be any fans, so maybe it will reduce the number of volunteers?
I think it'll reduce some of the volunteers, but, you know, fans don't make a difference as to whether or not you do ShotLink. Those are stats for the players. You know, the television group is still a group of a couple of hundred people. You know, the media, are they going to have turnout? Is if they make too many big compromises and take away something from the individual events that occur that causes any long-term damage to those events, I think it will have been a bad decision to go too early.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you talking on Golf Central. A great background, by the way. You have a magnificent view. Absolutely gorgeous. About all the players having to come in. Do they need to do a 14-day quarantine when they arrive in the States? Do they have to arrive so far in advance? A lot of questions. Will the community, like, I worry about Michigan more than I do Texas. Texas seems to be aggressively opening. Michigan wants to open, but is still in the midst of a large number of corona cases, virus cases, and COVID-19, and everything that's happening. I mean, the coronavirus you carry, and then it develops into COVID-19. A lot of people don't even get that far. There are the people who are asymptomatic. So much, and that's one of the reasons we're going next to the Ryder Cup. That'll be in September in Wisconsin, September 25th to the 27th. And everyone is asking the question, should the Ryder Cup be played without spectators? And your answer?
No. The answer is no, it should not. The spectators and the fans and just the drama and the pressure that has made the Ryder Cup the most compelling event in golf now, if you take that element away, it will lose its entire appeal. Can you imagine Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy playing the match that they did at Hazeltine in front of no people? And you weren't getting any of those kind of reactions from the players. It would lose so much. Now, having said that, postponing the Ryder Cup is extremely complicated. One of the big problems there, Danielle, frankly, is that the European Tour financially, its main base of its whole financial skeleton is the Ryder Cup. They rely so much on the Ryder Cup financially that if they were to postpone a year, I don't know who would keep them afloat. Maybe the PGA Tour, and actually maybe that would be a good thing. The other problem with postponing the Ryder Cup is already next year is totally jammed up schedule-wise because there's a President's Cup in the United States in Charlotte. So is the PGA Tour going to move that? I don't know. But there's an Olympics now. That's a two-week commitment that wasn't there before. So there's a lot of complications with it. But still, I truly believe they should not play the Ryder Cup without spectators.
I'm glad you brought up the financial end for the European Tour, because that certainly is a consideration. But, I mean, as you say, Rory McIlroy said absolutely not. It should not. And Patrick Harrington said there won't be a Ryder Cup without fans. Of course, they're not the absolute decision makers, but then Seth Waugh from the PGA of America was on Golf's channel as well saying, you know, we're going to talk to everyone. So it's not a done deal. We don't know that it's actually going to be played.
No, and I think Seth is doing the right thing by saying that. They are looking at all sorts of alternatives, but I think in the end, once they get everybody's advice and all the input from all the various stakeholders, they'll make the decision not to do it.
You think so? Okay.
I think so.
I think you're absolutely right. There are people who say the spectators on social media said, they're a bunch of clowns. We don't need those people in their silly outfits. But they egg on everyone to bring out that real competitive drive to win, to get the other guy, and in a good way, for the most part. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I know there's some irritating people.
What makes the Ryder Cup so compelling, Danielle, is the rooting interest. And in order to root, you have to have a villain. And villains can only be created by spectators and fans. They can't be created by other players. So, you know, Colin Montgomery never would have been the villain, or even Seve to that mm-hmm. And certainly Patrick Reed and Ian Poulter in today's era. Poulter never would have emerged as the villain that he has without spectators. You just can't play a Ryder Cup without it.
Fabulous. All right. Now, speaking of playing, we could see some competition of sorts. In May, the match with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. So I kind of like it, because this time, the last time it was such a money grab. It's like these two really, really rich guys are going out there to compete to get even more money. Because it was like, oh, and it wasn't really, I didn't find it good at all. It didn't feel competitive. This time it adds a level. It's a fundraiser. The match, champions for charity, the trash talking started. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's still some details to be worked out on it, but I think it's a good idea. I like the idea of raising the money. I'm totally with you. Rich guys playing for a whole lot of money last time was not compelling. I didn't think the television production was very good the last time. I mean, it was okay. It focused a lot on the gambling aspect of it, but I think it will improve now, and you know, anything to keep people interested in golf. I will say this about it. Phil and Brady better get ready, because they're up against a pretty tough team there. You know, right now, I think I would favor Tiger over Phil in general, assuming that Tiger's okay physically.
Right.
And I think Manning's a little better than Brady. So Phil and Tom are going to have their hands full.
And they're the first ones on Twitter to throw out the gauntlet. That was funny. I think it's interesting. A medalist golf club in Florida. It's a pretty, I don't know, closed environment. Not very many people go there. Would that work?
No, yeah. It is one of the hardest golf courses I have ever seen, Danielle. I actually played a match with Greg Norman, just the two of us down there for TV one time, a mighty long time ago, back when I was halfway decent. It was a great match. Actually, it's a match if you're out, especially with this social distancing now. And if you're playing with somebody that's a lot better than you, which I was, he was quite a bit better than me, we had a great match. He gave me a half a stroke on every hole. There was only two of us playing. He gave me a half a stroke every hole, which meant if I could figure out how to tie him on a hole, I won the hole. it was a good way to play, but I'll tell you, it is a tough golf course. So they're going to have to be careful with the amateurs in that thing, that they don't set it up too hard. The last thing you want is to be watching agony in a bunch of high scores on TV.
Speaking of you, I learned something this morning. It was actually yesterday, but I didn't catch it until today. That's why I DVR everything. Golf Channel and Golf Central, Golf Channel has Golf Central and Morning Drive again, and I watched Golf Central, and I saw Mark Rolfing. I'm talking with him right now, and he was, was that your backyard?
That was the backyard. That's the 17th hole of the Bay Course. So it's kind of my backyard. It's actually a perfect backyard, because I don't own it, which means I don't have to take care of it. I have somebody that mows the grass for me every day and keeps it nice and clean. And I'll tell you, the golf course without people playing it is just magnificent. I can't find a divot anywhere out there now.
Everything's looking pristine. I saw one Kapalua Plantation course shot. It's like, my gosh, that looks gorgeous. That's, you know, the first people who get to play are going to be very, very lucky. But you were talking about Michael Jordan and you playing a round of golf. Was it Kapalua? Where were you playing?
We were playing at McKenna, the story I told yesterday.
Yes.
I have a slew of stories, though. Because, Michael used to come out here. He came to Hawaii every summer before they broke for training camp in September in the NBA. And so he would come in August and stay for almost 3 weeks. And we'd play pretty much 36 holes of golf every day. course, he had his own plane, so we could actually even put together a little group of boys in the morning here on Maui, drive over to the airport, get on Michael's plane, and even go to a neighbor island and play golf for the day. So we did a lot of that. I probably played, I've easily played 100 rounds of golf with Michael Jordan, and so I know his game pretty well.
Yeah, that's a good story, though, about him getting into the lava and trying to do what?
Well, he got into the lava, but my ball was on the green on the 10th hole of the North Course back then, and his was in this crushed lava down short of the green and didn't have a very good lie. And the next thing I know, I'm watching him down there, and he's taking these vicious practice swings, and he's blasting away lava. And he's effectively improving his lie, knocking all the lava from around his ball. And pretty soon the ball's sitting perfectly there, and sure enough, he holds the shot. He makes it. And immediately we start arguing, and he is jumping around because he thinks he's won the hole, and I'm telling him he's lost the hole. And so we argued the whole rest of the round until we got into the clubhouse, little clubhouse there at McKenna, and we were all sitting there, and that hole was going to determine who won the match and who won the money. And the next thing I know, he's got his cell phone out. It's about 6 o'clock in Hawaii, and he dials somebody up on the other end, and he starts going, "Hey, we got a problem out here at Maui, and Mr. Rolfing here thinks he, knows something that I don't know about the rules and yada yada." And it turns out it's Tiger Woods that he has called. And he's complaining to Tiger to get him to make a ruling in his favor that he could go ahead and move all that lava around his ball. And Tiger said, "Give Mark the phone." He was sound asleep. It was midnight Eastern. He was in the middle of a tournament, World Series of Golf, I think it was, or the Bridgestone Invitational or something. And anyway, Tiger says, "Hey, you're right. You're not going to win this argument, though. Let it go. I got to go back to sleep. See you later." So anyway, he ruled in Michael's favor because he wanted to go back to sleep, and I lost the money, and that was how the story was.
Yeah, because bottom line is because you were never going to win. It was like Tiger Woods knew Michael Jordan and said, "Yeah, you're not going to win this one, and I want to go back to sleep."
One of my favorites, Danielle, was we got on Michael's plane one morning here on Maui. Marty Kiter was with us, and Dickie McLean, and I think Howie Kihuni from McKenna at the time. There's about five or six guys. We were going to fly to the Big Island that day to play golf. We were going to play Hualalai in the morning and Mauna Kea in the afternoon. And so we got to the Kona Airport on Michael's plane. And the whole entourage from Hualalai was there waiting, to pick us up, to take us. It was a big deal. Michael Jordan was coming to play golf. We had started playing poker on the plane between Maui and the Big Island, and Michael lost every hand on the flight over. And he would not let us off the plane. We sat on the tarmac, continuing to play poker so that he could try to win his money back. And it was just like the funniest thing, because we're looking at all these people are waiting for him, Morris. Why don't you get off the plane? And because we had to play a few more hands of poker.
I'm sorry, Michael won't stop playing. He needs his money. He needs his money back.
I don't think he needed it. Actually.
I know. Well, that takes me to what we do need. I'm going to golf emergency relief fund. Is the PGA of America a short-term financial assistance program for workers in the golf industry? And it's from the PGA professional to the golf maintenance crews to merchandising guys, everybody who's impacted by the closing of so many golf courses. PGA of America board and others donated the seed money, took salary cuts to do it. The first phase signed up, closed out in like 36 hours or less, and phase two comes next, but money is needed. Titleist and FootJoy and many more chipping in with auctions, including, now I love this one, so you'll be able to tell us. There's one auction, the Scotty Cameron Experience tops it all at $18,500 so far. But there are two others that I thought were noteworthy, or more than that, of course, but the experiences, the Ian Poulter Experience, or the Mike and Justin Thomas Experience, or the Butch Harmon Experience. So you can go and just, which experience would you bid on? Mark, am I putting you on the spot here?
They're all great.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm a little partial, I think, to Mike and Justin Thomas, just because I love those two guys so much, and the dynamic of the two of them is so unique. It's no surprise why Justin has turned out to be such a fine young man. I love his dad and his mom, Jannie. I suppose I would bid on that one. I'm not sure about the Scotty Cameron. I guess if he gave me a putter, I would like that one. And
He does.
I did get a mini golf lesson from Butch Herman last fall in Houston, because I've been struggling a little with my cancer surgery area, and he's adjusted my swing a little bit to really help me out. And the guy is just brilliant. So I don't know. It'd be a pretty close call between Herman and Thomas for me.
There you go. So if you want to, chipin.rallyup.com is how you get there. And to help the PGA of America, the Golf Emergency Relief Fund, the chipin.rallyup.com, part of the money goes to Golf Emergency Relief Fund. And if you'd just like to donate straight on, just go to relief.golf. Now, Mark, I've dominated this conversation. I haven't asked you, and is there something on your mind that you wanted to share this morning?
Yeah, what I want to share with everybody is this May 1st date that we are now looking at potentially to start up playing golf again here in Hawaii is really going to be an important date, and I do think we will be playing some golf by then, and slowly we'll be playing more and more golf. And I just want to say to everybody, it is going to be so important for all the golfers. Doesn't matter how good you are, whether you're young, old, male, female, you name it. You have to abide by the new set of guidelines that are going to be put out that are going to make this all possible. As you know, Danielle, 6 weeks ago, we tried keeping the golf courses open. And as you saw yesterday, I live right here on the 17th hole. And I was just totally appalled at how people neglected social distancing and guidelines that were actually put out by the golf course that the people were supposed to be playing under. They just didn't pay attention to some of them. Maybe they didn't know, they forgot. But it finally got to the point where the people were just not behaving in a manner that was going to be safe. And the most important thing, yes, it's going to be fabulous when we start playing again. But this is a very, very dangerous virus, and we know it can return really easily. And so everybody, please, please abide by these new guidelines. They're going to be difficult in some cases. They're really going to be difficult. If you've got wet ground and they're saying that you can only have one person in a golf cart and got to keep the cart on the path, let's say, in a course, in a situation like that, then you probably shouldn't take a cart or maybe even not play. But please abide by these guidelines.
Yeah, because if we don't take care of ourselves and everyone around us, then the city or the state has to come in and say, okay, you know, we gave you a chance. We can't afford to get our medical system so overwhelmed with cases that they can't handle it. Then we'll have to just take those privileges away from you. It's all up to us, because if we don't do something about it, somebody has to protect the hospitals and all of the nurses and the doctors who've gone way above anything to take care of a very sick population. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got the wonderful Alex Urban, Executive Director of Century Tournament of Champions, PGA Tour, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
You know, it's been pretty dry, but you're still smelling something kind of funky in the house. Water could be getting in your house and you didn't even know it. Something could be growing in the walls. Mushrooms, I've heard, are very popular inside walls. Call Oahu Extraction 330-6212 for a free thermal read with the state-of-the-art hydrometer they can see inside the walls. Call Oahu Extraction now.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring Alex Urban, Executive Director, Century Tournament of Champions, PGA Tour, in. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. How are you, Danielle?
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's interesting seeing this reduced schedule of the PGA Tour and getting back into action, possibly on June 11th. That is the plan.
Yes.
How is the Century Tournament of Champions? You know, we've got a schedule. Is it 2nd through the 5th, this 2021, rather?
Yeah, so actually we're the... The dates we're planning on having the tournament are the 6th through the 10th.
Ah,
so
thank
you. So the tournament dates were the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, January 2021.
Got it. I thought I read...
As of yet, we are unaffected date-wise. But, of course, the whole situation is fluid. There's always a possibility for future changes. But hopefully we can stick with the timeline that... the PGA Tour announced last week.
Great. So Century Tournament of Champions, January 6th through the 10th, 2021. If you're looking forward to being a volunteer, I imagine you're going to do a call for volunteers at some point in the not-too-distant future. You folks get it all worked out pretty early.
Yeah, we'll do a nice little announcement and let everyone know that we're live on our website, which is centurytournamentofchampions.com. And we'll do that sometime in the early part of July.
Do you have a lot of volunteers who come over from the mainland annually?
Yeah, quite a few. I think it's a pretty good mix of folks that either live here full time, or you know, we got plenty of folks that are seasonal here on the island, but also some folks that literally fly in just to be a tournament volunteer for the week. And you have some folks that fly all around the country as tournament volunteers, do multiple tournaments. We've got some pretty dedicated volunteers.
Wow. They fly around the country just to volunteer? That's nice. Good world.
Yes.
Please go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we've got a great group of volunteers with some really wonderful volunteer leadership as well.
Yeah. What do you mean by leadership?
We have plenty of volunteer chairs when you volunteer at a PGA Tour event, you volunteer in a certain committee. For example, you might work in a committee that deals with marshalling or shot link, and each of those committees has a volunteer leader. And we've got a great seasoned veteran group here at the tournament that helps make it function.
That's fantastic. There is right now, I mean, if it were just the tournaments that have been played so far, it would be a reduced field. Have you talked about expanding that? What are the discussions like now?
Yeah, it's something that certainly we're aware of. With tournaments being canceled, there are less guys that can qualify since we're a winners-only tournament, and it's generally the winners from the previous calendar year that get in. So it's something that we've talked about. I think there's always a possibility that we come up with a creative way to make sure we have a full field this year, but nothing to report yet on an official basis.
Got it. Okay.
But as soon as I've got it, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are coming up. The Ryder Cup in Wisconsin, for instance. That's something that everyone is asking everybody. Would you like to see it played, or would you prefer if it weren't played if spectators can't go?
Yeah, it's funny. I've had this conversation with a few people, and I sort of land on the side of playing it, even if there's no fans. And I understand that the fans are a huge part of that event. But to me, the competition always trumps the fan atmosphere. And all you have to put on the Walker Cup, which is the amateur version of the Ryder Cup. And that's played in front of not a ton of fans. Now, I know there are still some fans out there. It's actually a pretty cool event if you ever get a chance to attend it. It's one of those events where you can just walk down the fairway with the players. There's no roping or anything like that. And that event's had some really great competition over the years between those two teams, and not necessarily everyone knows about it. So to me, you could have kind of a similar scenario at the Ryder Cup where the competition is still passionate and you know, interesting to watch. Of course, we'd get to watch it on TV. So,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, I want to watch it played. I don't want to skip it just for the sake of, if they can play it safely without fans, I think they should play it.
Excellent. I love it. And we need to have everybody's perspective. Mark is of Mark Rolfing. He was on just a minute ago. He's of the opinion that it shouldn't be played. It should be carried over. But then there's the problem, you know, if you postpone it until next year, then you have all of these other tournaments that have been postponed, and there's the Olympics and all this stuff.
And there's a President's Cup too, Danielle.
Yes.
You'd have to knock that back a year. And they've done that before. That happened in the wake of 9/11. It used to be the Ryder Cup and President's Cup were staggered on the even odd years differently. And then after the President's Cup postponed for 9/11, the Ryder Cup postponed by a year as well and just kind of got on a different schedule. So there is some precedent for it. But I think if you can play the event, I think they should play the event.
Excellent.
But that's just me.
Well, that's, you know, you and many other people who think the whole fan experience is overrated. Although the point of egging each other on, that's something the fans do so much.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I think the fan experience is overrated. I think that if they can play, I think they should play.
They should play.
Of course, I've been to the Ryder Cup's an amazing fan experience. It's maybe one of the coolest events you can attend. Either of those team events an amazing fan experience.
Now, I've heard that it's impossible to get even close to the front to watch because it's like 10 people deep.
Yeah, you got to go holes in advance. And get there early, you know, plop yourself down on a hole that you can be in the front row. If you're trying to follow the match, hold a hole, good luck getting in the front. But it's not necessarily about that. It's about the atmosphere and that kind of, as a fan, that whole atmosphere is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So there's two ways. It's, you know, if you want to watch it and see what's happening on the course, the best way to do it is really television. If you want to be there to experience the feel of it and the dynamics going on, you may not catch all of the golf, but you'll feel that electricity. Then you certainly
exactly. Want,
you'll yeah. Just so I was just checking the PGA Tour, and I thought, how did I get those wrong dates? They haven't put up the 2020-2021 schedule yet. So
no, yeah, you're my, good.
Those my
were,
wrong.
Those were our dates. Those were our dates this year, but it resets the calendar every year. And there's a point where we're in the later part of that first week of January, and there's sometimes the quirk of the calendar.
Yeah.
So this year, we're a little bit off New Year's, which is actually kind of nice.
Century Tournament of Champions is scheduled now for January 6th through the 10th, 2021. So we're back in that part of the January and not very... Yeah, you're right. It's better for people to be able to have those family celebrations. So what do you think about the match, Champions for Charity, with Tiger and Phil and Tom and...
I was just doing some reading about it. I'm excited. You know, hopefully they can work out all the... I know they're still working out details on how to play it safely, and it has one more kind of round of approvals to go through. but it feels to me like it's going to happen, and I think it'll be great. I think it's fun to see Peyton Manning and Tom Brady get involved. I'll be very interested to see what kind of format they use for a competition like that.
Yeah, and how good of golfers they are. And what form is Phil in? And how about Tiger? I mean, all of that. And in May, and it's a fundraiser, Champions for Charity, part of the money going to the Relief Golf PGA of America's fundraiser for all of the people who are really having a hard time because the industry is shut down for the most part for a lot of PGA professionals and superintendents, all the merchandising guys, all of those people are thought caddies. Yes. You know, it's a tough one. Like the restaurant industry is suffering. And this way they can help, and that's great. So that would be the match, and we'll see if that happens in May. That it's very closed society there, the Medalist Golf Club. So it's not like.
Yeah.
Right, yes. And, of course, you'll hope television does, and I'm sure they will be fabulous. Alex Urban, Executive Director, Century Tournament of Champions, PGA Tour, coming back to Hawaii for the Century Tournament of Champions, January 6th through the 10th, 2021. Thank you very much, Alex.
Thanks for having me on, Danielle.
Absolutely. We're going to come back. We want to go into the world of how did Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus visualize their shots? What did they do in preparation? Not just physical preparation, but that mental preparation. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
Bayview's been doing some amazing work, too, by the way. So when you go back to Bayview, you're going to see the work that's being done, like the aerating of the greens, getting the Bermuda grass out, so that it is the way it was when Bayview was first opened up, and they're also repairing the tee boxes, as I mentioned, aerating the greens, returning the fairways to Bermuda grass, verticutting, and they're reseeding the driving range. It took a major hit when the new netting and poles were all put in at Bayview. Saturday, today it is, and I just want to let you know where the testing is. At Kahuku Medical Center from 9 until 1, Waimanalo District Park from 9 until 1, and you go to the Waimanalo District Park via Hihimanu. That's today. Kahuku Medical Center, Waimanalo District Park. Lana'i, the Dole Administration Building, 8 a.m. to 11. Hawaii Island Kapa'au at Kamehameha Park. So in Kapa'au at Kamehameha Park, 10 to 2, and at the Kona Urgent Care from 9 to 1 o'clock. That's what's happening Saturday. And then soon we're going to have food distribution, hoping to feed 256,000 people for 8 weeks. 4 distribution sites. The first one is April 30th, Waipio Soccer Complex, noon to 4 on April 30th, and then distributions twice a week for those 6 weeks, and there'll be other locations on Oahu. I'll have those for you. We're going to come back pretty soon. Roger Fredericks is joining us. He's the man with the insight into the visualization practices of Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer and Gary Player, 3 men that Roger Fredericks worked with.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Roger Fredericks. You can find him at rogerfredericks.golf. Excuse me. It's Roger Fredericks at fredericksgolf.com. Golf instructor, flexibility and fitness innovator, pioneer in the golf fitness movement. Roger Fredericks reveals the secrets of golf swing flexibility was number one bestseller. Arnold Palmer's personal coach for many years. Fredericks also worked with Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, Hall of Fame athletes in every sport. It's always good to have Roger Fredericks with us. Hi, Roger.
Danielle, as usual, a big aloha to you. My favorite Hawaiian wahine. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm so glad you're with us. And of course, you know, a lot of people forget about, they get into the swing mechanics, they get into the mental game and, you know, thinking about, and maybe too much thinking. But visualization is something that people have a hard time just kind of grasping, to visualize how this is going to happen. Tell us about visualization.
Yeah, I've been playing golf, I hate to say it, for a lot of decades. And I've played with some of the greatest players that ever lived. I've watched them, I've coached them. And, you know, I had my schools, and I was over on the islands, as you know, for 7 years over at Kaanapali, and I got to work with a lot of the senior tour players in the Kaanapali Senior Classic for a lot of years. And what I'm getting at, bottom line, is I've worked with great players, and I've worked with thousands and thousands of not-so-great players, to put it politically correct. But the main difference I've learned over all these years, the main difference between great players and good players and higher handicappers, is the way that good players visualize their shots. And they all do that differently, but they all have a tremendous, what I call, creative imaginations. I mean, just to give you a couple examples, you know, I was Arnold's coach, like you said, for quite a few years. We did an infomercial together, but Arnold kept it really simple. And he told me more than once that the only thing that he ever tried to do in his golf swing is he wanted to shake hands with the target with his right hand. He always felt like he was reaching down the fairway and imagining he's touching the target. You know, I've gotten to know Jack Nicklaus very well. My wife was his nutritionist for a long time, and my mentor, Petey Goskew, was his physical trainer for a lot of years. And I remember one time, it was back in, it was around 2000, something like that. We were at Jack's house, and he was talking about how he visualized and played Augusta. And he went off almost like he was in a trance. And he said to him, I'm paraphrasing him, but to him, the tournament at the Masters started on the fourth round, on the middle of the fairway of number 11. And he said he'd be on the crest of the hill there, and the first thing he'd do, he'd look up and see where the wind was blowing in the trees on the left. He would look down into the pond and see where the ripples were. Then he would glance over to where the flag was on number 12, which you can see from up there, and see where the wind was whipping through the 12th hole, on and on. And he said something that really, I mean, I'll never forget. He said something to the effect, he said, guys, when I'm playing, I think the reason I play so well down there is I'm off in this other world type of Disneyland, unquote. And he said, I'm in this whole other environment. And he said, I think most of the other guys are actually playing in the tournament and all that. And, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but, you know, Johnny Miller, who is probably the greatest mid-iron player that ever lived, we were with him one day, and he was talking about how sometimes he felt like he was actually the ball going down and dive-bombing down on the target, you know. And when he first said that, I thought he was, like, joking, like, you know, Caddyshack, you know, be the ball.
Right.
And he wasn't joking. I mean, he said, guys, that's how I really do it. But they're all like that. And like I said, they all have a different way to do it. And so most golfers, to me, they're thinking about their swing. You know, are they in this position? Is their wrist flat or whatever? And, you know, and again, most great players, they're putting their energy out there at the target. And if you remember the great teacher, he passed away a few years ago, Jim Flick.
Yes.
You know, I do my programs at Omni La Costa Resort, and Jim, the last several years of his life, was down there. And Jim used to have a saying that I really liked. He said, guys, he said, the golf swing is nothing more than a reaction to your mind's intent to hit the shot at the target. So in other words, your mind creates the backswing or the golf swing when most golfers are trying to have their golf swing produce the shot to hit there. And I've always liked that. And I really believe that. But, you know, and knowing that, and I think I, like most teachers, when I'd get a student there, so many high handicappers don't even aim. We call them rakers. You know, they would stand up on the driving range and just hit a shot out there. And then before the balls even hit the ground, they're in raking another one and hitting that one, trying to figure out what they did wrong. So I, like I'm saying, like so many other teachers, would say, listen, look at the target. You know, the old cliche, remember the target's not the target. I mean, you know, the ball's not the target. The target's the target.
Mm-hmm.
And then what almost inevitably happens is you get a person to stand behind the shot, take a deep breath, look at the target, then they walk up there, and then they go miss it, and they hit a bad shot, and then their mind immediately races back to find out, why did I do that? What I think that's kind of a form of insecurity. They're trying to find a Band-Aid or something to fix them, rather than try harder and focus deeper on the target. So, but that's a hard thing to teach. And for so many years, I tried to figure out why do all great players, and not just golfers, but in all sports. I mean, I heard Mark Rolfe, you know, your guest, talk about on TV a couple nights ago about playing a lot of golf with Michael Jordan. And I played golf with Michael three times, and I was always amazed about what a great short game he had. I mean, he had really great hands around the green, really good chipper and putter and wedge player. And finally, I said, boy, you got a really good short game. And he said, man, he goes, Roger, he goes, to me, it's just like shooting a free throw. He says, I said, how so? He said, when I'm shooting a free throw, this is coming from him. He said, when I'm shooting a free throw or even taking a shot, he says, there's nothing else. I'm just fixated and zoned in on the back of the rim. And he said, when I got a little chip shot like this, I'm just actually seeing the ball bounce up there. So it's in all sports, but I always ask myself for a lot of years, why do they all have that creative imagination? And I have to believe it's because they all started the sport or the game when they were kids. And when you start anything, you know, kids have the greatest imaginations of anybody. And you're doing shots, you know, millions of times, and you're playing games and stuff like that. You know, pretty soon you develop over time, you develop a great imagination. So now the question is, how do you teach a golfer who doesn't get to play that much and didn't start when they were a kid, how do you teach them how to imagine? And so that was the million-dollar question. And I think I finally have an answer for it. So that's my take on it.
Okay, I'm ready for the answer.
Okay.
How do you teach?
I got approached about 5 months ago from a company called Nucalm, N-U-C-A-L-M. And they have this app. And the app was designed, you put the headphones on or the earbuds, and you listen to this music. But embedded in the music is what's called binaural beats. And there are things that your conscious mind can't hear, but your subconscious does. And it affects different parts of your brain. It's very, very safe, by the way. And this thing, when they designed it for people about to undergo cancer, you know, hardcore cancer surgeries or major dental surgeries, and it soothes your mind down and it calms it down. And there's another aspect of it, not to get technical, there's another aspect that actually calms and kind of deadens, so to speak, your prefrontal cortex, is where all your anxiety and your thoughts come in there and the way we self-sabotage ourselves and things like that. Anyway, so they approached me because they wanted to get into the golf world with it. And I'm going, this sounds pretty good, because I'm into all that stuff. And I went out there the first time at La Costa, and I started hitting balls with it, and I was shocked. I mean, because what I found after about 4 or 5 swings, I wasn't thinking about my swing anymore. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm like an observer. And it's like, I swear to God, I'm thinking, boy, who's doing the swinging here? Subconscious mind does the swinging. And next thing you know, all you're looking at is the target and the ball going at the target time and time again. And I was stunned. I mean, it's the best training aid that I've ever seen. So Jim McLean, the Hall of Fame teacher, who's a good friend of mine, I was down with him at his new place at the Biltmore in Coral Gables. They had Jim try. And Jim, after he looks at me, he goes, my God, this is unbelievable. He said, we got to get this thing out there. Then Mike Malaska, who was Teacher of the Year a few years ago, I had Mike over here the other day. He was, I mean, it's really great. And this now, this device now actually teaches people, without them knowing it, it actually does puts you in the zone and into that space that all athletes get into it automatically. So it's really an amazing product. And I'm really glad to, I can't wait. They're forming a new app right now, mainly just for the golf business. It's going to be ready in about 3 months. But I'm really looking forward to taking this out there and helping people get into, into the zone, so to speak.
Yeah, it's exactly what Jack Nicklaus was talking about. Everybody else is playing the tournament. I'm out here looking at the wind in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's now, it's a new Calm app. It's an app, yeah. I could download on my phone?
Yes, but that actual app isn't ready yet. But if you go to www.nucalm, NUCALM.com, Nucalm, they have a lot of information on it. But like I say, the app for golf now isn't quite ready, but it will be. But it's the greatest training aid that I've ever seen. And again, I've been doing this for a long time. It really works.
That's getting people focused and positive. I mean, when you said, I'd like to focus on being focused and positive, this is that where you were going with Nucalm?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and it's not just in golf or sports performance. I mean, you know, we've been around. You know, the greatest thing about golf is all the incredible number of people that you meet. And I've met, we all have, you know, I've met so many unbelievably successful people in every walk of life, from every business to politicians to CEOs of major corporations and all, and doctors and all that. And the, and all of them, you know, have a positive mind. I mean, they all know what they're doing. They all feel very comfortable in what they do. And again, I don't want to ramble on too much, but I had a really dear friend of mine for years growing up in Los Angeles, and he was one of the finest neurosurgeons in the world. I mean, he was fantastic. And he said, but when he played golf, he was absolutely a bozo. He was nervous and afraid, but you put him in there, you know, patching up somebody's brain, going in there really deep. I mean, he was just as calm as a cucumber. Wow. You know, he was just really... But they're all like that. But the question is, how does the average person tap into their creative process? So that's where technology now has actually become such a major force in our world. We actually have now a way to do that.
Yeah, NewCalm. I can't wait to look it up. NewCalm, yes. When you were talking about the swing, I think a lot of us have to remember that when we throw a ball, we don't think about how our arm goes back into this position and then goes forward and then releases the ball, and how many fingers are being used to release the ball. You know, we just throw the ball at the target. The only thing we're thinking about is getting that ball to go where we want it to go. And when you want to get to the target, you got to let go of how you're swinging the club and just think about, let your mind say, I want to get there. I've got this club. As long as you've got the basics, the five basics, and you've got them down, you can place the club in front of the ball. Start with that. And I think you're in a much better shape. Roger Fredericks, FredericksGolf.com, golf instructor, flexibility and fitness innovator, La Costa Resort and Spa in Carlsbad, California. Can we still meet up with you and come and see you at Carlsbad?
Oh, absolutely. I'm at Omni La Costa Resort right up there, like you just said, in Carlsbad. And I see people all the time. Now, obviously, right now, the last few weeks were closed, like what everybody else is. But that's good. They can also go, you know, to check out NewCalm, to the NewCalm website, give a lot more information on this amazing product.
And that's NewCalm, NewCalm.com.
Right.
I asked you a question the last time or a time before you were on, and I need to ask you and delve into your fitness and flexibility aspect of the game. Why today are there so many kids getting hurt that we hear about in golf, whether it's PGA Tour, LPGA, doesn't matter? How come we didn't hear so much before? Now we just hear about it all the time.
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. When kids, by the time we're born and we're growing, bottom line is we're growing, and our body develops, you know, trillions of cells and neuron patterns and all that kind of stuff. So as we grow up, our body's developmental processes aren't complete until you're around, you know, I think it's 20 years old, something like that. But what happens is so many kids now, they're starting off, and, you know, so many of them are playing like unilateral sports. Most sports are. In other words, if you're throwing a baseball millions of times and you're a right-handed pitcher or what have you, or a batter, you know, your right side becomes over-dominant than the other. And the same thing in golf. You know, if you're a right-handed golfer, which 90% plus of the people are, your right side is doing more of the load and being worked out, so to speak, than your left side. So we end up imbalanced. And the neurological system is also imbalanced. If you look at the majority of golfers, especially at your country club and kids now, if you look at their right shoulders, their right shoulders will be lower and forward than the left because they're starting to develop properly. Well, now that's bad enough. And when a body gets out of its natural position, then friction is placed upon the joints, and then friction eventually leads to overstrain and muscle tears and bone on bone and all that. But it makes it worse. So many of these young people, as they're growing up in the developmental process, then they start getting into heavy weightlifting. Now, the heavy weightlifting then puts more demand load on their imbalances that they've already created. Now they're getting more prone to injuries, and we're seeing this. You know, everybody looks at the pro golf tours and say, my God, these people are great. They look like wide receivers. But, you know, anybody who's been out on the tour and in that trailer, there are more and more and more these young men and women who are getting hurt and having surgeries all the time. I mean, look at the top three names in golf for the last year and a half. You know, Tiger, Brooks Koepka, and Dustin Johnson all had surgeries, guess where, on the left knee. Huh. You know, and most, not all of them, most golf injuries, not all of them, but most of them, the predominant, is in the left side of the body. It's usually the left knee or the left hip because the right sides get so built up and stronger, so to speak, and the left side can't stabilize all these maximum forces moving into the into their body in the left side, and eventually they just finally give out. And that's my take on why so many of them are getting injured right now. And I hate to sound self-defeating, but if you look at ones in Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan and Sam Snead and Nicklaus and Palmer and on and on through history, none of them went to gyms, you know. But they grew up naturally. They didn't grow up playing Nintendo and driving so much and things like that. They grew up in a more natural environment. And you know, Gary Player lifted weights. He was one of the first to do it, and Frank Stranahan and Jerry Barber. But, you know, you want a balanced body. And Bob, to answer your question, these kids now are getting, they're just getting out of balance, and they're putting that extra weight and strain on it, too.
Yeah, so the idea of just one sport, let them play as many sports as possible, and also be very aware and keep an eye on, you know, how much time they're spending using different muscles and try to help them balance it out. It's a lot, but if you've got a child that's determined to be in a particular sport, I think they'll still love. I was talking to Parker McLaughlin. He was amazing in lots of different sports, and you know, won in high school awards in different sports, and then took to golf. So letting them excel in one, but keep them active in others is a really important thing for parents to remember. Roger Fredericks, FredericksGolf.com, golf instructor, flexibility and fitness innovator, and pioneer in the golf fitness movement. You can find him at Roger Fredericks, and make that FredericksGolf.com. And you got to check out New Calm. The app is coming out, but right now it's not available. But you can find out more about New Calm at newcalm.com, NUCALM.com. Roger, thanks for being on the show. Very interesting.
Daniel, thank you as always. I really appreciate it. Say hi to all my friends over there.
Ka'ana pali calling.
Okay. All right, thanks so much. Take care.
Aloha.
Right,
we're going to come back with Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post. She's a senior European writer, but special correspondent and an author, a wonderful woman with a lot of great history in the game. Also an athlete, then became a writer. Talking about the situation in Scotland, talking a little bit about Monty and the shutdown, and just a little bit about the European Tour. And you were listening earlier, you know, we're a little bit worried about how the European Tour is going to survive the financial upheaval caused by coronavirus. So we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And General Manager Eric Onodera at Bayview, they've been aerating the greens, repairing the tee boxes, returning the fairways to Bermuda grass the way the course was originally put together, reseeding the driving range because that driving range took a major hit when the new netting and poles were put in. All the equipment that was working there, it's kind of just dirt, so they want to get that grass back in. Everything is going to look absolutely beautiful. I can't wait to get back to golf. If everything looks good to the medical panel, what's been proposed, the number of positive cases in the coming days stays low or decreases and goes away, wouldn't that be something? Golf courses on Oahu could reopen on May 1st. That was a big pause because it's still a big if. And I also want to just finish my thought on the food that's being distributed at 4 distribution sites starting April 30th, Waipio Soccer Complex, noon to 4 o'clock, 2 distributions a week. So it's alternating at the soccer complex, Kaka'ako Waterfront Park, Haleiwa Kayaka Beach Park, and Waimanalo District Park. It's all because of a $1 million donation from the Hawaii Resilience Fund, as well as $1 million from the City and County of Honolulu, making this incredible distribution of food possible. Okay, now let's go to Scotland. I know we'd all like to go to Scotland under much different conditions, of course. Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, senior writer, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you.
Good to have you. And I was just thinking, you know, we have the PGA of America put together a fundraiser to give some money to the guys that are working, for instance, the superintendents and their staff that don't have a job right now because the minimal team was kept on, or the merchandising crew. They're not making any money. Nobody's buying merchandise at the golf courses anymore, or for now. The PGA Tour, the PGA of America people, and even some of the PGA Tour players, though, who are on the lower level, and I don't mean that badly, I mean they're just working their way up. So they all have a possibility of getting some money because of the relief fund the PGA of America has put together. And, you know, it must be difficult in Scotland with all the golf courses closed. How are your guys faring?
Well, it's been very interesting. I've been talking. We have an association in the UK called BIGGER, and it's the British and International Golf Greenkeeping Association. And they are, those who've had teams of 4 are probably now down to 1 or maybe 2 if they're lucky. But it's very interesting to hear some of them speak. And they said, you know, they could do their jobs much more quickly because there were no tee markers and no flag sticks. And there was something else they said that was missing. And that was members. And which I thought was rather nice because they say quite often, and they were saying it sort of tongue-in-cheek, you know, the members get in the way a bit, but now they're longing to have them back, you know, because they like their comments and they love seeing them. And they said they really appreciate them once they come back because they're all on their own out there. And I suppose they just want, you know, people admire the courses usually, and it's lovely for them to hear. But there was one who told me that when he went, you know, he saw members walking over the course, and whereas he might have possibly avoided them before, he now goes up and talks to them, and he just sort of holds them in conversation because he is missing them so much, which I thought was rather lovely.
So rather lonely out there right now.
So they're a bit lonely, but they're loving what they're doing. You know, they do absolutely love their jobs. And you know, we've had wonderful weather in Scotland. I suppose, in a way, that makes it all the more frustrating for them. They've got the courses looking beautiful. I mean, one of them was saying it just would take a couple of cuts of the green and a couple of rolls, and the greens will be magnificent. But anyhow, it's all looking wonderful, and there's no one playing.
Yeah.
So how frustrating is that?
You want to show off what you've done. You want everybody to see it. And right now, it's been a while. How long have you been closed?
Since the 24th of March. I mean, the bigger, they were quite surprised because they, when this was announced that, you know, that we were going into lockdown, the golf clubs didn't know what this meant as far as, you know, maintenance staff were concerned. And so they got in touch with the relevant government officials, and to their absolute amazement, because you don't expect replies from anybody very quickly. But the government got back to them the next day and said exactly what was meant. And it's sort of essential maintenance is all they can do. And that involves, you know, they can keep the rough down, but the wilder stuff, that's the first cut, but they must just leave the rest to go its own way. And then the greens are just to be, you know, not manicured in any way, just basic stuff and irrigating them properly. So, you know, there's still a lot to do, and they say they're very busy, but it is, you know, they miss the break times, you know, because there's a lot of camaraderie in the greenkeeping forces always.
Yeah.
But it does sound like the most wonderful job in the world.
Yeah, I agree. That's funny. The two of us are of like mind. I'm going to do just a really quick pause here. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLY and I, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, and KTOH, Kalaheo. Elizabeth, if you won, the Elizabeth who won last week, please call back because we must have gotten the number transposed. We can't seem to get through to you to give you that $50 gift certificate for the Bayview Golf Course. Elizabeth, do give us a call back, 545-1111. And speaking of a $50 gift certificate, if you'd like to be the winner of one right now, the number is 545-1111. So while I'm talking with Lewin, then you get to call in and win, okay? That's 545-1111. In addition to talking with the greenskeepers, the fraternity there, I understand you had a nice conversation with Colin Montgomery, and I'm so glad you pointed that out to me because there was a wonderful Champions Tour sort of video on, and it was about what the guys are doing during this break, trying to keep in shape and trying to stay competitive. And it really, if you can get to Twitter and see it, it's Champions Tour. They're the official site. So funny. I think you'd enjoy it. So how's Monty taking this time?
Well, he's actually been, he and his very nice partner, Sarah Casey, they've been doing shopping for their parents. I mean, she's got a mother and a father, and Monty's father is just coming up for 90, and he lives in Troon, and they were packing a hamper for him yesterday, which was rather nice. And But he is practicing. And I don't, you know, Monty doesn't normally practice an awful lot. Well, that's sounding a bit more than he would normally do. But he has put a golf net up in the garden, and every now and then he goes out and hits shots. And he was really quite jokingly that he's probably hitting more balls than he's ever done. But it's keeping him busy, and he's staying in shape. But the main thing about Monty, he said that all his life he's been used to playing tournament golf Thursday to Sunday. I think that's the days you play the senior tour out there, isn't it?
Yes.
And it is, yes. And so he says it's so strange because he wakes up on a Thursday morning, he's not got a tee off time, he's not, you know, there's nothing calling. And so it's very strange. All these years of tournament play, and he doesn't have that call of the tournament anymore.
Right. There's no one telling him. Telling him what day it is. That's when you start to say, what day is this? I've lost track.
I know. Well, I haven't bothered wearing my watch since the 23rd of March, because what's the point? You know, you can't go anywhere, and so you don't have any appointments. I don't have to keep looking at my watch.
That's marvelous. So you've been writing a lot. Will we be able to read Global Golf Post, find some of this article about the greenskeepers? And,
you will on Monday. I really enjoyed writing about them because, you know, the joy of what they do just so much, it so hit me, really. And it just made me think that parents everywhere think, you know, I'd love my son to be a lawyer or an accountant or whatever. And just think about greenkeeping because it's a wonderful profession.
It's, if sometimes children need to be able to choose what they like to do because there is the society of it. And I guess, Monty, does he like the Champions Tour?
Oh, he absolutely loves the Champions Tour. He says the atmosphere there is absolutely terrific. And, you know, on the main tour, you know, the whole thing was golf. And it wasn't always that friendly. I mean, people didn't necessarily, they didn't necessarily want to make conversation all the time, but they had their families there or whatever. But Monty says, you know, when they come in from around the senior golf, it's friendly stuff. They're talking about their children, they're talking about college teams, and, you know, he's even got interested in college football. So, he thinks it's wonderful. He really does.
So
he wasn't an American college himself, wasn't he? Was it one of the Texas ones?
Yes. Once you are on a golf course with a bunch of these guys after playing for so many years in a really hot environment, and I mean like young man hot kind of environment, then getting to play 3 days with guys who don't ever give up the competitive side, but know how to add the balance of society, social, the engagement. So you're still trying to, you know, beat each other, but you can do it with a smile. And in a way, that's more infuriating. and watching these guys, the PGA Tour champions, the 10 can't-miss NFL prospects, and it was just it's just so funny. If you can go there to PGA Tour Champions on Twitter, seeing Bernard Langer, he's using a watering can and he's running the length of his yard and trying to do like different moves. So he's running sideways and he's trying to water everything as he's going. Or Billy Andrade picking up his golf bag and doing push-ups. Or Miguel Jimenez, he's kicking over the top of his golf bag, or one gentleman is using his trophies as weights so that he can practice here. Tom Lehman is up there hoisting his bag up above his head. Everything's falling out. It's that sort of fun that they're that they're having on this video. It's a lot of fun. Would have loved to see Monty in the backyard, or you know, putting together the food for his parents. I think that's the wonderful thing about what we're going through. I mean, it's a terrible time, but at least we're getting closer to our families and to our friends as much as that is possible. It is a terrible time for the European Tour because of the lack of money. Commissioner Pelley talked about that.
Yes, he has talked about that, and he said that when we return, you know, post the virus, that things aren't going to be the same. And, you know, of course they're not, and probably, you know, it's going to be the same in America. They, you know, they'll take a bit of time to bounce back to where they were. But even more so, obviously, in Europe. And it is a pity. It's tough. But, you know, Mr. Pelly was saying that things that won't be there will be the courtesy cars and, you know, the fancy player lounges and things for a start, you know, and they may not be there at all. And really, that doesn't matter that much. I mean, they're there to play golf, for heaven's sake. And, you know, Langer, who you mentioned, and the ones of his era, Langer, Faldo, Seve, and co, they didn't step into courtesy cars for many, many years. They just got on the bus with the rest of the players. And so, and they played perfectly well travelling on these buses. So, you know, the courtesy cars are an extra. They really are. And today's players, okay, they love them and they've got used to them. But it was Langer and co who made the tour in the first place, the European tour, and they did without them, and they did very well without them.
And what about cutting back the purses, having lower purses?
Well, do you know, our purses, people look at our, I know we're only, our purses are only worth half of what the American ones are, but people here look at the pros and what they're getting, and they think they're making a really handsome living, you know. People, you know, it's huge money they're making, even in Europe. And, you know, they really do very well for themselves. But, you know, when they see a lot of them, of course, they do go over to America. And when they see there's more money in America, they then lose interest in the money here. So it's, you know, and because they just want to make more, even more, and that's how it goes. But the European tour is a lovely tour, you know. It's a wonderful tour. I mean, we've got some stopping points that would make you drool. I mean, such as you've seen the pictures from Kranz-Sierre in Switzerland.
Yes.
I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yes. Absolutely. I love watching European Tour golf.
Well, a lot of people do, because every week it's different. You know, the players have to adapt every week to something entirely different. You know, a links one week, perhaps, and then they've got a parkland course and a course up at the top of a mountain. You know, it's wonderful what they have to do.
Yeah.
And how skilled they get going to all these different places.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the word out there how it's going to be a radically different look. CEO Keith Pelly is bracing the players for a radically different look to the European Tour events. That's kind of how it's written for us in the U.S. And that just makes me want to ask somebody who's there, what is your take? And I like the way you're putting it, Lewin, because it just, you know, it's... Taking away courtesy cars is not that much of a deal, like you said. Taking out all the snacks or whatever, it's probably pretty lush. The food that is available in the players' rooms, you know, or not giving them a bunch of swag as they come in until the European Tour and the European economy and the economy across the globe can recover. Who knows what the PGA Tour is going to look like when everything starts up again? It may be just as, well, reserved, if you will, as any place else, right? That's what I'm thinking.
There's another thing I'd like to mention, and that is that the spectators we have, and you have, you know, they're interested in golf. They don't go to watch and point to somebody and say he's got... six, I'm just trying to think of a posh car.
Yeah, Porsche.
Wouldn't be mine. what is it the American, that, you know, the best of the American pros would run around in? I don't know, Ferraris, say, and things like that.
There you go.
Well, I mean, there's a little interested in the bird. They're amateurs who want to pick up tips, and that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, getting let me see how he hits that ball. We often say that you can get the best tips watching women play. And men should actually pay more attention to the women because their distance is about the same when it comes to picking a club. And I'm transitioning to the ladies' game because there's a report out that Se-Yong Kim and U.S. Open champion Zhang Zheli 6 are planning to tee it up in May, 14th to the 17th, on the KLPGA Tour. Have you heard anything?
Yes, I have, and I think it's marvelous what they're doing. You know, they were very well organized in on the KLPGA Tour, aren't they? And South Koreans are very well organized in general. I mean, they're just so precise in everything they do. And, you know, golf, they practice for all these long hours every day. And, you know, they get very, very good. And as I say, everything's organized. And when they come out, you know, I was just thinking the other day that if they're wearing masks or whatever, they'll be, you know, they'll be sort of ready for television, and the masks will have Diamante designs all over them or something. Because, you know,
yes,
they do look very pretty on the course, these girls, and
yes,
they love to look good. And I think people will really enjoy watching some live golf again.
I do, too. And plus, Ali Six and Kim plan to give all of their winnings to COVID-19 relief efforts. 144 players, $1.8 million in prize money. So maybe even Sung-Hyung Park and Hyo-Joo Kim may also be going. None of this is confirmed, but I think it's a really good idea. If it's safe to play with all those, you know, the masks and everybody only touches their own golf ball. That's the beauty of this game of golf. Basketball, you're playing with one ball, everybody's touching it. In the game of golf,
Only
the player handles their ball. Don't touch the flagstick. Leave the rake alone. All of these things are going to be in effect for us if we get the opportunity to have the golf courses open up on May 1st here in Honolulu. That would be really swell. But we have to follow the guidelines and be very, very respectful that we do exactly what they say we need to do to play. Otherwise, they'll take it away. We wouldn't want that to happen. When do you think you'll be able to see your courses in Scotland open?
I think, well, Mr. Croxall, who's the head of Bigger, and he has heard rumors, but then, you know, there's so many rumors circulating around,
right,
you know, about everything at the moment.
Right. But what's the rumor?
He thought it would be in the middle of next month.
Ah.
And so, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He's not pretending that's going to be definite, but that's just what he thought he'd heard.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be, I think, you know, the greenkeepers will be ready for them, and the members will just be ready to flood out on the courses, but they won't be allowed to. I think he thinks that they'll be allowed to play 9 holes. They won't go in the clubhouse, and there won't be a full complement of greenkeepers back. It'll be, you know, they're going to have to adhere to a set of rules that go beyond the RNAs and the USGAs.
Just like us.
Going to be...
Just like us.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, because the USGA and the RNA have brought out these rules, you know, for now, you know, how people are to cope if they do play. Like, you don't have the ball going in the hole, do you?
No.
And, you know, you just sort of, it can putt up to the hole and you putt it away.
Yes, yes.
It's full of stones, the hole or something. But, you know, they've got means of getting around the problems. And as you say, you know, there's no need, you've only need to touch your own golf ball, so that's a very good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm really looking forward to finding out. We didn't expect it to happen because we are still in lockdown until the end of May. But our mayor here on Oahu determined that there were low-risk things, medium-risk things, high-risk things, and high-risk things that you couldn't really modify. So we're in the low-risk category, and it sure would be nice if we could play on the 1st of May. We'll see. Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post. You'll find the articles on Monday, globalgolfpost.com. All you have to do is give them your email address, and it'll come to you automatically Monday morning. Thanks again for being on the show. It's always fun talking with you.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I want to thank the people who make this show possible. Bayview Golf Course, beautiful Kaneohe, taking this downtime to make the course even better. Bayview aerating the course, the greens. They're cleansing the new double-deck Top Tracer driving range and, of course, getting ready to reopen when the stay-at-home order allows us to. You'll come back to a course in even better condition. Until then, best of health to you and your family and your friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're in this together. COVID-19, Oahu Extraction is ready. So don't worry. If you have a leak, give them a call. Oahu Extraction is COVID-19 ready and here to help you and your flooding or mitigation needs. So when it floods, water or worse, call Oahu Extraction. And whenever, you know, you never know, rain can trickle in and stay in places that you'd had no idea. Happened to me one night when I was in the restroom and all of a sudden the water was drip. Yeah. Aloha Power Equipment has what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. Get the Honda EU2200 generator for $999 and the extended warranty for $99. What a deal. That's the best deal in the world. And that's Oahu. Make that Aloha Power Equipment. Worried about my time I am right now and making sure that I can get out on time. Oahu Extraction, Bayview, Aloha Power Equipment. Thank you so much. Thank you for your mana. I'm Danielle Tucker.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.